We'll be starting in verse 11. We'll have two verses that we'll be going to, verse 11 and verse 12. Before I get started, I will like to say a little something. You know, I'm always amazed at what the good Lord does or how He lays things out. And, you know, with all the problems I think that people go through and struggles that we all have as a Christian, sometimes the good Lord just sends a kind of a word I think that we really need. I know this has been on my heart for a while, and it just kind of burns in your bones sometimes when God really gives you something that the church really needs. And this is for you, because I know what God has spoke to me about this lesson. I know I'm a teacher, and I know I'm not a preacher, but I know when God speaks, just like you do. Any born-again child can hear God speak to him. And I'm amazed at that Almighty God will talk to you and I, the creatures that He created, and especially His bride. You know, He loves you. And what amazed me, He loved me, and I've never got over it. The life that I lived and what He's done for me. Let me settle down. Okay, verse 11. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Verse 12 is where I really want to concentrate on. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, as I looked at this, the first thing that really caught my attention was, how do you fight the fight? What do you really do? What kind of rules or grounds that we have to fight this battle that we go through as Christians, the trials and the troubles and the tribulations, death, no matter what it is? We have to fight a fight. And what you and I sometimes don't realize is that we're in God's army. We are put in an army. And we're going to cover a lot of things tonight, and I hope I can really teach this lesson the way God laid it on my heart. All right, first of all, when we fight a fight, I want to bring out a few things here. This fight can be outwardly. It can be inwardly. It can be physical. Or it can be spiritual. Now, all of it is spiritual. Even though you have an outward battle with something that you're fighting with, for an example, sometimes we have certain sins in our life that we can't hardly seem to overcome. And that's an outward battle. But also it's an inward battle. It's a battle that we sometimes need help on. It's a battle also that, as we look at it, is spiritual. Every battle you're going to face, where it's physical, where it's cancer, no matter what it is, it's going to be a spiritual battle. Where it comes to your children, where it comes to your grandchildren, your mother or your daddy or your death, no matter what happens, finances, it doesn't matter. It's going to wind up being a spiritual battle. And we're going to have to fight the spiritual battle. The question is how do we really do that? Now, there's a lot of things as we look at this, but there was a little verse right here in verse 12. It really caught my attention. It said, "Lay hold on eternal life." Now, why would it say that when Timothy is already born again? Why would it say that when Timothy is a pastor? And Paul was trying to exhort Timothy. And if you'll read up above there, which we're not going to do really, he told some things that we don't need to do. But here, he told him to lay hold on eternal life. And I thought, well, what are you saying? What do you really mean? And as I got to looking at it, actually it answers itself. Now, laying hold on eternal life here as we fight the fight, and we fight the battles as we go through, I want you to realize that your life that you live shows the world that you are a child of God. So when you lay hold on eternal life, you're showing the world that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, we're going to get back on this subject a good bit as we get in this lesson of laying hold on eternal life and fighting the fight of faith that you need. Now, I want you to take notice of something else. He says, fight the fight of faith. Now, that was another thing that kind of interested and piqued my interest in this. Our faith is in what? Now, a lot of times we say, I hear on TV a lot, well, they're of faith. I don't know what they're talking about. They never say who. They don't say what. What is their faith in? I don't know. Here, he's telling Timothy to express your faith to the world, lay hold on the eternal life, that they can see your faith. Now, in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, there was a guy on TV that they brought out, and I want you to listen to this. It kind of amazed me what he said. He had a bar in Tuscaloosa, and he wanted it to be open on Sunday afternoon so they could have a cold beer on a hot summer day in Sunday afternoon. But he made a statement. He said, oh, I go to church. I thought, okay, so what? Now, see, this is what's wrong with the churches. What are we presenting outwardly, laying hold on eternal life and showing the world the fight that you're fighting. See, and as I thought about that, it was amazing. But next of all, I want you to take note, Paul exhorted Timothy here. He said, lay hold on it, grab a hold of it, in other words. What you have, grab a hold of it. And I'm amazed at this, by embracing the gospel, right here in this book, the gospel, by embracing it, you're revealing Jesus to the whole world. You're showing the world who actually Jesus is. By fighting the fight, by laying hold on eternal life, you're actually showing the world what a Christian is and who God is. The world don't see God. They're going to see God or Jesus through you and through the church. That's who they're going to see it by. Also, if we look at this on how to fight the fight, if you got your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. So as you're in this fight, and as you're in this battle, and as you lay hold on eternal life, I want you to look at this. Verse 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, a lot of times we hear a lot of different voices, and sometimes we follow the wrong voice. God is telling us to follow, to try the spirits that are speaking to you. For an example, I'll use this for an example, and we'll use Joel Osteen for an example. How many people follow him? Why are they so deceived? Do you believe some of them are really saved? Probably. Why would they follow after him then? And why is it do we follow after false doctrines even in our church? And why is it that we don't lay hold on eternal life, lay hold on this book, and follow this book? How many of you follow this book like you should? How many of us do that? Now you stop and think about this. We have got to try the spirits. If you got your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. On the same theme here, we read several verses here. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are raging wolves. Now, I want you to think about that. They're going to show you and tell you they're a Christian. So you have got to discern the spirits to know if they are or if they are not. Now, let's read on a little bit further. You shall know them by their fruits, in other words, by what they do. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now I want to drop down to verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, in judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? What did Jesus say? I will. What? He then, I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me that work iniquity. Also in Matthew, also in 28, and I'm not going to go there, it talks about the wheat and the tares. This is why you have to try the spirits. The tares are sowed with the wheat. Why do you think we got so many people in church that says one thing and does another? Now, how do you really know a Christian? How do you fight this fight? There's a lot to really take a good look at this lesson. That's what I want us to really take a good look at. And at the end time, God is going to do the separating of the wheat and the tares. So we don't have to separate them. But also, I want you to take notice, the devil cannot. He does not hurt the wheat. I want you to think about that. He don't hurt the wheat. But at the end, God's going to take out the tares. We're going to have to deal with them, and we're going to have to fight the fight, and we're going to have to show the world who the true Christian actually is. You are. I am. The true church that is born again. All right? If you've got your Bibles now, I want you to go to Ephesians. Chapter 6. We'll drop down to verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. All right, first of all, you're fighting an enemy that you cannot see. He can see you, but you can't see him. He knows you on a personal basis, believe it or not. That's why he can deal you so much misery a lot of times, and you don't even know where it come from. So how do we fight the fight? How do we really handle all the problems and things that a Christian has to deal with on a daily basis, especially in the world that you and I live in today? Now, first of all, I want you to take notice. Let's go ahead and read just a little bit more. I want you to take one thing in verse 11 and verse 10. You got to be strong in the Lord to fight the fight. You got to be courageous. You got to be willing to stand. So in order to fight the fight, you have got to get in this book, and you have got to grow, and you have got to show the world who Jesus actually is. You. Every one of you. Now, next of all, says put on the whole armor. You don't put on one piece. You don't put on two. You put it all on. There's no way around it. You got to have it all. Verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's the day we live in, buddy. All right? And having all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. What is truth? I think Pilate asked that question. didn't he? What is true? Well, let's think about this. God is true. The Spirit is true. Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. Put on Jesus. Fight the fight of faith, because He is true. And not only that, our faith is in Jesus, not in our jobs, not in our work, not in our circumstances, not what we're going through when you're fighting the fight of faith and when you're laying hold on eternal life. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just put it to you this way. I am fully persuaded whom I believe. I have no doubts. He's done too much for me. He's been in my life too much. I didn't say I lived like I should. I just said, I know it. And I know where I'm going. I doubt, I don't doubt. Now, Psalms 119. I'll just read it if you don't have time to go there. Talking about truth. Verse 142. It says, Thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness. Thy law is the truth. Verse 151, same chapter. Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are true. Now, stop and think about what I just said there. All His commandments. Not my commandments, not your commandments, but it's what God commands you to do. His commandments are true. You remember where I read over there, be strong in the Lord? Well, we're fixing to get into that in just a minute. Just a little bit more, and I want you to really take a look at this. Also in verse 160, Thy Word, talking about this precious book, is true from the beginning, and of Thy righteous judgment endureth forever. Now, I want you to take notice of something. Here he's talking about, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. First of all, you got to be girded about with this Word of God and with Jesus. This is part of your armor. Remember, this is a spiritual armor. This is it's an armor that's going to work for you, that's going to help you fight this fight that you're in. Next of all, I want you to take notice the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I kind of looked up this word righteousness, and you and I know the Bible says that you and I don't have righteousness. That it's all about Him. But this little word actually really means something. And I always like to look up things sometimes and kind of get an interesting view on it. Righteousness actually means, I want you to listen to this very carefully, holy and upright living, now listen, in accordance with God's standards. Not your standards, not what's right in your eyes, and God's standards. This book, these are the standards that you live by. That's why you got to be strong in the Lord. You got to do it in His power, not yours. You can't do it in yours. You can't live a Christian life without Jesus. You can't walk it. You can't talk it. You can't do it on your own. How many times do we try, though? Yeah, I know all about that. Been there, done that, still do it every once in a while. But also there's something else about this righteousness. It comes from a root word that means straightness. What does the Bible tell us about what? Straight in what? Narrow path that we follow, that we go. We don't go the broad way. We don't go by the world's way. We go by His way. Alright, next of all, it refers also to a state that conforms to authority. Do you realize that? This holy and upright religious, not religious, but standard, conforms to authority. It conforms to God's standards. All right, next. God's character is defined as all source of all righteousness. Now, we know that. In the Old Testament, though, the term righteousness is used to define man's relationship with God. Now, take Adam and Eve. for an example. If they had acted righteously in their relationship with God, if they had obeyed Him, what would the difference have been? God said, "Thou shalt not." Now, I know we're under grace and we're not under the law, but I want to ask you another question. Did God do away with the law? There's a lot of "thou shalt nots" that we don't do. Now, the Bible tells us it is better to obey than it is to what? Sacrifice. So when we fight the fight, you've got to put on this armor. You have to put on Jesus. You have to lay hold on eternal life. And you have to show the world who Jesus really is by holy and upright living. I'm amazed at that. Next of all, therefore, man must have God's righteousness imputed in him. That's salvation. But we follow after Jesus and holding and doing God's standards. That's what we're supposed to be doing. All right, let's move on a little bit. Now, this armor that you're putting on is a spiritual armor. And I learned something with this lesson that I really didn't know myself. And even though I had studied it before and taught it and done different things, it kind of amazed me. We fight against a spiritual battle every day that we're out in this world. Now, let's look at the shield of faith just a minute. This kind of fascinated me as I looked at this. Now, back in the old time, this represents like an army. And you're in an army, by the way, where you want to be or not. You've been drafted. You're there. When you become a Christian, you're in God's army. Now, a shield of faith. Now, back then, they had a big shield. And, you know, as they shot arrows at them, they'd take this big shield, and it was about the size of a door. And they put it up, and they couldn't get hit with them arrows. Now, look at verse 16. Above all, now, I want you to take notice that he said, above all, do what? For anything, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All right? Now, the size of a door, I was amazed at that. But also what got me my attention, Christ is both the door to salvation, and He is the door that protects. But faith enables us to enter the door, and Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out." That's salvation. But faith, listen to me, places us securely in His hands. Faith enables us to stand behind Jesus. I want you to take notice of this. Not in front. You don't do the leading. You stand behind the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him do the leading. Let Him do the guiding. Let Him direct your life. Your job is to live holy, upright, righteous, put on the armor of God, fight the battle that you're in, no matter what it is. Fight the battle of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Show the world who we are. And there's no way around it. This is what you have to do. Faith places us securely in His hands. Now, I want to back up to verse 13 just for a second. And I want you to take notice of what it said. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And even in verse 14, it says, stand therefore. Now, here's the question. You can't fight the fight sitting down. It's not going to happen. Are you ready to get in the battle? Are you ready to take a stand for what's right? Are you ready to confront evil? Are you ready to do your part? You're going to have to stand. Now, I want to ask you a question. And I want you to think about this just for a minute. When a person gets saved, they're a babe in Christ, right? Huh? You believe that? Now, any army that you have has basic training. Do you agree with that? Why do they have training? So they can what? Go into battle. Fight the fight. Alright? Now, when a person gets saved, I'll just use liberty. Now, how much training does he get? Or she? Oh. Let me ask you another question. Why not? How do you expect them to grow? Not only that, wait a minute, I ain't through. Do you even pray for them? Oh. Why do you think that the churches are in such a mess that we have today in this day and age that we have? We, the Christian people, to me, is some of the hard-hearted people they are. You got a baby that's born in your congregation and you don't do one thing. How many of you could even go up, listen, befriend them, get close to them, and teach them even though we don't have a special program for them? There's ways of doing it. God's army is so unorganized, it's pathetic. Any army will teach you when you're in a battle to plant your feet solid. In order to fight, you got to be standing to fight. Now, how many of us are anchored on that solid rock? Standing, not sitting. Now, I want to ask you another question. What is our commandment that God tells us to do as a Christian? Number one, it's commanded to stand, not sit. Next one, I want you to stop and think about it. He tells us to go into all the world and what? And witness, right? All right, you and I can't do that, can we? But you can go in your community. You can show your community what a Christian really is. You can witness. You can take a stand on your job where you work. Kids can take a stand in school. You and I have got to fight the fight. The problem is we're sitting. We're not fighting the fight of faith. We're not laying hold on eternal life. Using it for what God wants us to use it for. Fight the spiritual fight. Fight the battle. This is what you've got to do. I'm amazed at this. But you've got to let Jesus do the leading. The shield of faith. You've got to get behind Him. Not in front of Him. If you're in front of Him, doing what you want to do when you want to do it, you better look out. You're going to get shot. You're going to get hurt. It's just the way it is. Any of you ever got blindsided? Oh yeah, I have. And even sometimes, no matter how mature a Christian you are, you can get blindsided because we have a tendency to get ahead of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We step out there. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, and I forgot about the feet, but anyway, you put the Word of God on the feet so you can go. But anyway, let's look at this helmet of salvation just for a second. Now, we have to be saved in order to put on this armor. And I want you to take notice, all parts of this armor has been mentioned so far has been for a defense. Do you get that? For defense. Now, there are two parts that are for offense in this battle. What are they? It is the Word of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, I'll read it. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is your weapon when you go out, when you fight the battle, or when you are in trouble and trials come and tribulations come. Remember what you have to help you. You have the Lord Jesus Christ that saved your soul. You have the Spirit of God. You have the Word of God. You have teachers that teach. You have preachers that preach. You have Christians that truly will pray for you and help you any way they can. I really believe that. We have more for us going for us than any generation that I know of for us to do the least. To do the least. Now, what's our second offensive weapon? As we look at this, it's called prayer. If nothing else, you need to get down in your prayer closet and do a lot of praying. Prayer is one to me, the Word of God and your prayer life are the two most important things that you will ever do as a Christian in order to get you to grow. There's no way around it. Now, I want to bring out one more thing. Where does it tell you in this Bible to take off this armor? You won't find it. It is a spiritual battle. It's a battle that you're going to face every day. You're going to be in this army whether you want to or not. Depends on what you really want to do in this army. It's a commandment that you stand, if you'll read back over there in Ephesians, four times you're commanded to stand. And when done all that you can do, still stand. No matter what comes your way, no matter what happens in your life, no matter how discouraged you can get, I've been so low I've never thought I could get up. I've been through some trials that I won't even talk about. Breaks your heart. Even now, things I've been through, troubles, trials. But through it all, Jesus always reached down and picked me up. I failed it, come short of His glory. But despite it all, He still loves me. So get in the battle, fight to fight, and lay hold on eternal life. Show the world who Jesus is. Really is.